Welcome to our service for the Sunday after the coronation of King Charles III, for whom we'll pray later. We begin today with the Welsh hymn, Dyma Gariad fy Ymyrroedd, Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean. Lord Jesus Christ said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you were sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past. Lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. May Almighty God deliver us, have mercy upon us, and pardon us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now the special collect for today, the Sunday after the coronation of King Charles III, let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign Lord King Charles and all who are in authority under him, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour of your name and the good of your church and people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts, chapter 7, beginning at verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Say, come.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Are you woke? Dangerous question for a preacher to ask, of course. People have been quietly dozing through my sermons for nearly 40 years. But you know what I mean. Are you woke in the sense in which we hear the word in modern conversation? One legitimate answer might be, well, if I could work out what woke means, I might be able to tell you. But it isn't easy. The word is actually intended to be a bit vague. We used to have political correctness. As the words suggest, political correctness was a hard-edged concept. You were either correct or you weren't. To be woke, by contrast, has a gentler sort of feeling. I'm not claiming to be correct, only to be aware of certain things, to be alive or awake to them. It might even imply a kind of repentant humility. I used to be asleep, but now I'm woke. Unfortunately, though, the woke movement has not really behaved with any humility, or at least not all of it. When people disagree with it, it tends not to debate with them, but rather to try to silence them, to cancel them, in cancel culture, as it's been called. And it's probably for that reason, amongst others, that we now hear the term woke used pejoratively far more often than we hear it used with approval. I thought I would spend a moment or two today, though, thinking about what it might mean for a Christian to be woke. There's one lovely text from the prophet Isaiah which offers an obvious starting point. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. When I'm asked what my vocation is, I usually take my starting point from the shepherd's psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and especially from the line, "He restores my soul." The role of a pastor in the church, the under-shepherd of the Lord's flock, is similarly to be a restorer of souls. But if you were to describe specifically the teaching role of a pastor, then you couldn't do much better than these words from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Jane and I have been deeply tired in recent weeks. We've been looking after a friend of ours who was ill and then taken worse while he was with us. We have a favourite quotation from Anthony Trollope for when we are feeling physically tired, though. Trollope wrote in Barchester Towers, "Nothing fatigues the body so much as weariness of spirit." It is the preacher's task, if he or she can do it, to speak into that weariness. Notice that the prophet does not promise that he can remove it, only that he knows or hopes to know how to sustain the weary with a word, how to keep them going, if you like. As I've said before, we are not sure who this preacher is. We usually call him Second Isaiah. We don't think he's the original Isaiah of Jerusalem, because he seems to work in the period of the Hebrews' exile in Babylon, which means that, like all the exiles, he is a prisoner of sorts, far from his native land. Whether or not that is the case, What is clear is that his experience day to day is one of bitter persecution. I gave my back to those who struck me, he writes, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. If that was your daily experience, I wonder how you would feel at the dawn of each new day. It is a kind of miracle that instead of rising to face the day with trepidation at the new troubles which it is likely to bring, Isaiah rises with hope in his heart. A hope which is not in essence for himself, or certainly not only for himself, but for the weary exiles who surround him. They probably all, the Jewish exiles in Babylon, had that same sense of alienation and weariness, away from home, and not knowing if they would ever be able to return. It may have been his prophetic ministry and his refusal to be silenced which singled our preacher out for special persecution. We call him, indeed, the suffering servant. He is both the servant of the Lord, but also the servant of his compatriots, and his own suffering may be made heavier because of his determination to lighten theirs. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear. It is one of those passages which makes me wish that I'd studied Hebrew. I'm pretty sure that the word for wakens is just the same word repeated in Hebrew as in English. And the beauty of the poetry here is in the repetitions. Of course, one special technique of Hebrew poetry is what we call parallelism, the expression of the same idea in two different words or phrases, like the beginning of Psalm 20, for example. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favour your burnt sacrifices. In each of those three verses, the same idea is repeated in different language. But here, in the passage we consider today, and more unusually, the poetic effect is in direct repetition. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear. And especially, it is in the repetition of repetition. It's easy not to notice, I find, that it happens twice. The repetition that strikes us is the second one, the repetition of the word wakens my ear. So that it is easy to miss the first one, morning by morning. There is a beautiful sense in the words of the gradual way in which the day dawns and our waking happens, as we drift into light and consciousness. Morning, morning, wakens. But the prophet wakes not only to the new day, but to a new hope that the Lord will speak to him and through him. He is probably the greatest poet amongst the Old Testament prophets, and you would guess from this passage that to be a poet was close to the heart and soul of his vocation. He rises in the hope that the Lord will speak through him, and it is the Lord who wakens his ear. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, writes Paul to the Christians in Colossae. In contrast with 2 Isaiah, Paul was anything but a poet, but it is clear that he writes and speaks out of the same treasury as Isaiah does, and as every Christian preacher must. The great Old Testament theme of the word of the Lord, spoken to and through prophets like 2 Isaiah, becomes in the New Testament the word of Christ, which is to dwell in us richly, so that every morning we have in our hearts and souls the resources of the word of Christ to strengthen us for the day. And if, indeed when, weariness of spirit assails us, we will reap the reward of having practiced the presence of the word of Christ in our lives, in our prayers, in our reading of the scriptures. He alone can sustain us in our weariness. Amen.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold, O precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will. Purify me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, deep within, refine as fire. My heart's to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do.
And now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entad rhanoit yn ynaboedd sanctaeddiad dy enw, deled dy dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn yne fechli ar y ddea hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar a beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni i brofedigaeth, eithiau gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis eiddo ti o'r deirnas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we continue in prayer on this special day, thinking first of our new King and Queen. Gracious God, we pray for King Charles. We thank you for him, for the gifts you have given him, and the years of public service he has already given. In this time of a great new challenge, we pray that you will lead and bless him, that he might know your peace and presence with him. Give him the energy he needs, but also time to share with his family, to rest and to reflect. May he have wisdom in his decision-making and be supported by advisers of insight and integrity. In this country and the Commonwealth, and in the wider world, We pray that he may be a presence and voice supporting hope and justice for all people. May he run the race well and point others to the love of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray also for Queen Camilla in the vital role that she will play, both as queen in her own right and as a support to His Majesty. May she too, Lord, know the peace of your presence, have the health and strength to carry out the many duties of her role. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this united kingdom and for this nation of Wales. We pray that we may be found one nation, at peace with one another, and a force for peace and justice in the world. We pray for our homes and families, for our places of work and our seats of learning, our places of recreation and our havens of rest, for young and old, for Commonwealth and nation. Lord of our land, be pleased to hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the needs of the whole world, for peace on earth and goodwill among all Christ's people, for unity and fellowship within the church he came to build, and especially in this diocese of St. David's and Principality of Wales. We remember in the name of Christ the poor and helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all those who do not know the Lord Jesus or who do not love him, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. Lastly, remember before the Lord all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in the Lord Jesus we are for ever one. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Do
And now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.